All right, we're going to return to an issue then that I raised on the programme yesterday morning, and it was an email in from a listener who wished to remain anonymous. And just to summarise it, it said the following. I'm a local of Naas. I drove up to Lackenview in the town on Saturday in the early evening to visit a friend. I noticed there were the remnants of a bonfire burning on the green site near the road beside the playground and Ballycane Church. There were three young children, two around 8 or 10 years of age, and the third was very small and looked to be about 3 or 4 years old, with not an adult in sight. All three had long sticks and were poking the fire, said this listener. I heard later that the fire brigade were up at the site as well. However, last night there was a fire constructed and lit with about a dozen young people, all young teenagers, sitting in and around it on chairs. And just to conclude then, to summarise what this listener said, I know that I'll be roasted, but why in the name of God is this antisocial behaviour tolerated year on year? This is every year. I really feel for the people in the houses, in these estates, etc, etc. May is on the line. May is a resident in Lackenview. Good morning to you, May, and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning, Owen.
You contacted the programme after you heard me read out this email, and it's your view that perhaps everybody in Lackenview and that area shouldn't be tarred with the same brush.
Yes, it is my view on it. Actually, I'm annoyed at it, basically. Well, I was listening to other callers there with you. This estate is known as Lackenview, not Ballycane, Lackenview. And yes, there was stuff over in the field across the way from me. The children were there. They were pulling it all together. It was actually an adult, not from the estate, who actually lit the fire for the children to for the last two nights, not any of the children who were there. That's to clear up one point. A second point of bringing chairs. Yes, there was chairs brought over, which was on Monday. And again, those children are not from Lackenview. They came from a nearby estate and carried the chairs over for to be at the fire. Now, basically, my point being on to you is, and to your listeners, is why is it always have to be the Lackenview, and I will say Lackenview residents or children, that are being blamed for this? It is not. There's no child out there who's innocent. And yes, there is children out of Lackenview who was over there. Yes, they were there. And like that, or poked the fire. Yes, they were told to stop poking the fire. Like that, what we would like to do is, and get this point straight across the board, is Lackenview on Halloween, we, as in the neighbourhood up here, we leave out whatever we have, i.e. wood, pieces of fences, doors or that, that they don't want, that burn. There is people who come up and bring tires, kitchens, kitchen sinks, washing machines, dishwashers, and take them out with their vans and throw them there. Now, I personally, last year, went over and took a photograph, and then the couple came to me and asked, why did I do that? And I said, I did it for the simple reason you are not from the estate. So where are you from? Again, they did tell me where they were from, and I said, well, like that, you're not from this estate, so why are you dumping your full sink and kitchen on this fire? Oh, we were told if we want to get rid of stuff, go up to Lackenview. Lackenview is the best place for to have the bonfire, because the bonfire is brilliant.
Okay, yes, I completely understand where you're coming from, May. And, you know, when we were speaking yesterday off air, I said, absolutely, I'm happy to get you to come on and to highlight this from a resident's point of view in that area. And I understand the reason that you would do so. The issue here, though, can we be sure that everything that's coming in at the moment, the likes of tyres and kitchen sinks, is coming in from outside, from other estates in Naas?
Yes, 100% yes. I am not the only one in the estate who has taken photographs of Reg, of cars or vans or whatever they are coming up to dump, to put there. Yes, we all want a good Halloween. Yes, Lacken View is known to have a good fire and an awful lot of people around it, and that includes the guards. But yes, it's well supervised on the night. On the night, it's well supervised, and the parents are there with their children, and they make sure their children don't go near it, and we're standing way, way back. And like that, we're there to enjoy Halloween. That's what Halloween is all about. We have even had the children who and teenagers who bring up the stuff to the fire. That across in the neighbourhood estates have said, look, would the children mind coming over here and bringing over this bit of wood or these old doors or fences or that? No, the children will go over and they will help people out if need. Could be older person, it could be a younger person. It doesn't matter. It's to get into the fun of it and the joy of it.
Okay, but and nobody is arguing that point. And I mean, the listener even said, nobody is saying that Halloween can't be celebrated in the old tradition of the bonfire, but this should be done a one-night occurrence with adult supervision in partnership with Kildare County Council, and the residents in Lacken View need to obviously, you know, be mindful of that. But I think the issue here, May, and as a resident, you would probably have a similar view, that we're at the 5th of October now. It's too early to be lighting these bonfires, and it's going to cause damage. If it's just once off on Halloween night, it might be more acceptable. And I know that you're saying that these are people coming in from other estates around the area, but unfortunately, does that not come with the territory? If the area is well known for building up a bonfire, and well known for having such a large bonfire, and I know it does, how are we going to police or monitor who is dropping off what?
Well, we can't, and that's why we take the photographs of the reg, of the people who are dropping the stuff off. It's up to the people, and hopefully it'll come out on your station that they will understand. Do not come up to Lacken View 2-3 weeks, as you just pointed out, it's the 2nd, 3rd of October. Do not come up to Lacken View with whatever you need to have burnt, whether it be wood, definitely not washing machines, definitely not prams, definitely not bikes, and definitely not dishwashers or sinks. We don't want all that up here. They've come up one year there with 26 tires that were brought out of a white van and put over there. We don't want that because of, number one, our own lungs and the children's lungs as well, the blackness that come off that. We don't want that. Yes, we want people to enjoy it, and yes, we want people to come and have a good time and come up to Lacken View. You're more than welcome to come up. But don't be coming up weeks, as you just said there, Owen. Don't be coming up weeks beforehand and leaving stuff there. That's not the time. We are speaking about 2 to 3 days previous. As I said to you already, the residents up here, the estate up here, will leave out their stuff that they need for the children to collect and bring over and build up. And for the people to understand, 2 to 3 days beforehand, with old carpets or bits of wood or bits of fence, but again, you know, no washing machines, dishwashers, prams or bikes or that. And that's what is being brought up.
Okay, finally then, May, who cleans up after this then? On Halloween night, this one big bonfire that you're saying happens at Lacken View, who's responsible for cleaning it up?
Well, the neighbours out of Lacken View, actually, to be honest, someone will get out and pull it all together as much as possible that they can, because they're left with trying to pull not burnt out even, washing machines or bikes or wire and all that. And we try and pull it together as much as we possibly can. And the council come up then and take it away. They have done in the last couple of years or so.
There's some views that perhaps the location of it is dangerous, right beside the playground there.
Well, it's not. It is near the playground, but it's not wide enough that it would touch the playground. We make sure that it's wide, but mainly tall, more so than, you know, we say, okay, for instance, 10 foot, and if you go 20 feet, you're at the playground. So we don't go 20 feet, we come back. So we stay 10 feet away from the playground. We don't know what the wind is going to be like that night. We don't, nobody knows that. Nobody can say that. So that's why we go up high rather than wide. And like that, it keeps it away from the playground and still keep it that it's in a safe enough area and a safe enough area for the adults, the children and that to stand, not even stand around it, but stand back from it. And they know to stand back from it.
Okay. Well, as I said, yesterday on the programme, we were contacted by a listener who was concerned up around that area that the bonfire was being lit far too early. We wanted to give the other side as well. May, who has very kindly agreed to come on the programme with us this morning, lives in Lacken View. She's of the opinion that people are coming in from other estates and putting their, essentially dumping stuff at that bonfire and setting it alight. The most important thing that we have to highlight here is obviously safety is paramount, and if this bonfire is to happen, that it happens in a very safe and controlled manner. And we wanted to give both views. We had the listener with the email yesterday and May coming on then to defend Lacken View and the residents there. May, many thanks for calling in to us this morning.
No, thank you, Owen, for taking my call. And again, I would please ask the people, do not come up too early. 2 to 3 days beforehand and gives them time to get it ready and set it up and safety with it and the height with it. That's fine. But not to be coming up early to give. As I said, it has been lit for the past 2 nights, but not from an adult from this estate either who lit it. But like that, a children will, and like that, it is dangerous for the children. And at least we as parents and will know on the estate, right, the children are gone out over there to the fire, they're gone out with the stuff. We can keep an eye on them, who has what, who's bringing what, so that they're not being lit beforehand. And they don't do that. And that's why the people, even in Lacken View, will not, I specifically will tell you that, will not give out anything or leave out anything until about 2 days beforehand to give the children time and the teenagers time to build up the fire so that it will be ready for Halloween.
All right. Thanks a million, mate. Take care.
All right. Thank you all for taking my call.
All right, just a couple of messages actually before we take a break. One here saying the EPA should be doing their job properly and clamping down on bonfires and illegal backyard burning. There's no place for bonfires on health and safety grounds. They release highly dangerous dioxins and can cause severe injuries and put unnecessary pressure on the fire brigade, ambulance service and the Gardaí. There should be no bonfires allowed in any housing estates or open areas under any circumstances, says this listener. Jay says bonfires should be banned. It's unreal what people are dumping. And then Mags was in touch saying it's ridiculous that that woman is encouraging the burning of carpets and tyres which release toxic fumes. She's not, Mag. She's absolutely not. And she made that clear. What she is saying, what May is saying, is that people are coming up, she's alleging that people are coming up from other estates and dumping tyres and kitchen sinks into this bonfire because they know that it's a place that the bonfire is going to be lit and they're using it as a dump. She says the people in Lacken View will only burn wood such as fences, doors, etc. She absolutely clarified that. She is not condoning, she's condemning the burning of tyres and carpets and everything else, etc. Keep those messages coming into us to the usual sources.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Yeah, keep the messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97. We'll catch up on them in a few moments' time. But first of all, Social Democrats councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Aidan Farley, joins us in studio. Good morning to you, Aidan.
Morning, Owen. Lovely to be here.
And we're talking about the 120 bus again. What else? You've been on about it a number of times on the programme. You've brought it up at various different council meetings. You wrote then to Go Ahead Ireland and you've got a response back from them. Are you happy with the response?
It's the first glimmer of hope, I think it's fair to say, that we've had for a long while. A little bit of context for listeners. We've put motions down. We've raised this issue. We've written to the service provider over the last 2.5 years, and we never received, Anthony, in terms of concrete feedback or acknowledgement that the service provider, in this case, Go Ahead, has taken this seriously. So about 3 months ago, I tried a different tactic with this and went to the Oireachtas Committee on Transport and asked them to consider this issue and in turn write to the NTA and to write to Go Ahead Ireland, because consistently since Go Ahead have taken over the 120, they have failed commuters. They have failed people looking to get to work, looking to get to college, looking to get to medical appointments that they've been waiting 12, 18 months for. People have lost their jobs because of this. People have been in real pressure because what was before, on the hour, every hour, that was the motto when it came to the 120. Now that motto has changed. It's maybe it will, maybe it won't. And when we don't have a reliable service like that, that leads people to stay in their cars, or it leads people to make decisions that they probably shouldn't have to make. So when the Oireachtas Committee wrote to the NTA and Go Ahead Ireland, it's the first time we've seen Go Ahead actually stand up and go, okay, mea culpa. And so what I've received this week is an apology from their managing director to say, sincerely, we apologise for how this service has been operating. I put out, and thank you again to KFM and others for covering it last week. We've started to see some of the fines that the NTA have put in place. Now we're starting to see from Go Ahead Ireland an apology, an assurance that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, they have the staffing levels to operate the timetable based on the contract that they won. They haven't done that. For the lifetime of this contract, they have not operated based on the tender that they provided to say, we can do this. They have failed to do that up till now. So while there's a public meeting planned in the Westgrove, we're continuing with that meeting because we can't take those assurances at face facts, because people's trust with Go Ahead is at the lowest it's ever been. So we need to fulfil that meeting. We need to hear people's stories. And what the managing director has offered is an opportunity for me to go to the depot to meet him. So I don't want to do that before this public meeting. I want to wait. I want to gather people's experiences like I've been doing. Oh, and I can't underestimate, it's daily.
Yeah, and we get messages in here as well from people living in the areas like Clane and Allan Wood and Edenderry Prosper, saying, you know, I was left standing on the side of the road this morning. What's the story with the 120 bus? There was no communication, etc. And what strikes me as well about those places and towns that I mentioned, that's the only connection that they would have to Dublin. So, for example, if you were left standing on the side of the road in Salins or Newbridge or wherever, you might be able to say, well, I can get the train, or there's another bus coming. In these towns, Allan Wood, Clane, etc., it's the only form of transport.
This is it. This is it. And we're talking about the likes of Clane and their planning hierarchy changing based on what some have called excellent public transport. It is the absolute opposite, and there is no alternative. We're starting to see this week now that Maynooth University is open again. The 139 that does a different route but goes through Clane is at capacity by the time it gets to Clane. There is no other options. And even, I know you've covered it as much as well, the 126, again, it's those rural components of this county that suffer the most, because it's that or nothing. And when it's nothing, and you're standing there and you've missed a shift, you've missed a college exam, you've missed a medical appointment, that's a real life impact. It could be lashing rain, and we've had kids going to school standing for 80 minutes in the lashings of rain getting to school soaked. This is real. And it's 2022. It's not rocket science, this.
Yeah.
But they've won these tenders based on assurances given to the NTA that we can do this. So what happens when it's proven that they can't? We need to see the NTA show their teeth with these fines, more fines, until we see consistent regular services.
Why did it take so long to get the response from Go Ahead Ireland? It seemed to be, you know, time and time again, emails were sent and there was a complete lack of response. You have this response now, and I'd be interested to hear what the spokesperson said relating to it, and, you know, what happens now going forward.
I can't answer the delay. I cannot fathom why it has taken so long to own up and say, look, we've got this wrong. They've done that now, and in that kind of statement that he provided, he tried to give some rationale behind why the 120 has been such a poor service, and he points obviously to a national shortage in bus drivers. Also, though, quite concerningly, he spoke about traffic congestion and antisocial behaviour as reasons why the bus service is impacted on the 120. That's the first I've ever heard of antisocial behaviour on that service. That's a commuter service. The peak times of that service is when it's failing, and that's people going to and from work. That's people going to and from school. So that would concern me a little bit. But what he has assured is that their driving school is full of people training to become drivers, and also what they've done is qualify drivers throughout the summer to a point where he believes in 2 to 3 weeks it's fully operational, timetable's good to go. I wish I could take that at face value, but I don't think I'd be doing anybody a service who I've spoken to over the last 2 years about this to just rest on that and say, great, thank you so much. We have to continue to put pressure on here until it's such a point where after Christmas it's quarter one, quarter two of next year, and we're consistently not being let down, then we can say, okay, at least now we're good.
Okay, it's good that we've got the response, though, and it's a step in the right direction. I know that public meeting is taking place in the Westgrove on the 7th of November, and it's open to anybody who wants to go along and give their stories, and then you're going to meet with Go Ahead Ireland then after that, is it?
Yeah, and already we've got people in touch who want to come to speak about the 126, which is also down in South Kildare. People want to speak about the 139, that's a commuter from Naas up to Blanchardstown and through Clane. Of people coming to really want to speak about the school bus issue as well. I mean, it's racking up the amount of public transport issues in a commuter county. So I think there's going to be quite a few people speaking about a variety of public transport issues. Everybody is welcome, and we'll gather all that up, and between myself and my colleague Katrin Murphy in the Dáil, we're trying to come at this in as many ways as possible to seek change, because in isolation that's when we were getting nowhere. So it took a little bit of thinking outside the box to just get this response in the first place. So now we just need to continue that momentum.
Okay, before I let you go, Aidan, just a couple of messages came in this morning regarding the local property tax and the fact that it is 10%. It's still 10%. It went back to zero, but it was decided then among councillors that it would stay at 10%, which it was last year as well. Some people saying that, you know, in a time of crisis, it should have been reduced. Others saying that people living in the countryside don't get anything from the local property tax. Why was it kept at 10%? Why was it not brought down a couple of percent at least?
I can give you my perspective, and I suppose our group's perspective on this. We thought long and hard about this. As councillors, it's very hard to go through the 12-month cycle and speak to so many people who want to see change coming in their community. That in turn allows us to bring motions and questions forward, which your listeners are, you know, we always hear them on the different radio, on the different slots. In order to seek that change, we need the funds to make those changes. And while I absolutely acknowledge this is the worst time to be seeing a headline like a 10% increase, we also see that Kildare is one of, and the crux of this issue is that Kildare remains one of the lowest funded local authorities in this state. We do not receive per head of population anything like our counterparts in other counties. So right now we have our claim municipal district on Friday, and we have 70 projects on our local property tax routine that we see. So we're seeing, for example, in Prosperous, where a new wheelchair accessible car parking space outside the school was delivered. That was local property tax funds of €10,000. That makes a huge change. So I absolutely accept that it's a very difficult decision for councillors to make and for people to hear, why is this being increased? But every time I speak to someone and explain the fruits of that local property tax, what it's actually doing, if we withdrew some of that, that will equally have a massive impact on people's interaction with their communities, whether it's their roads, their cycle infrastructure, the environment, litter. There is a huge impact. What I've asked when we had this discussion in the council, what I did ask is that we get our act together and start communicating better what's happening with people's local property tax fund. It's making a huge difference, but people aren't associating what they see as works as that's my local property tax in action.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing, because messages have come in from people. As I say, there's one there, the people living in the countryside don't get one thing from the property tax. Another one here saying, does anyone want to tell me what I get from my property tax? I pay food, road tax, fuel tax. I live on the side of the road. It's not connected to a sewerage system, and there hasn't been repairs to the road for nearly 20 years, says this one listener. So I think it is, yeah, about explaining the reason why their property tax is there in the first place, what it it funds and communicating that a lot better. Another message here as well, just before we let you go, Aidan Claim needs a better service to and from Naas as well. This is in relation to that cancellation of the town link as well.
And we got assurances that come September, that Keneally's, I think it was the service provider, would consider putting that back in place. But we haven't seen that come back yet. And now we're seeing the 139. If you're sitting in Clane in the mornings, you will see the 139 pulling into Clane full. So that's not viable as a 120 or as a service route that will get people from Clane, Salins, Naas and vice versa. So we need to see. I've spoken and I'm waiting on a reply back from the NTA about that specific route. But we need someone to come in from the NTA, overall look at what's here on paper, what's here in practice, and actually start to deliver better, because we're going to just continue to stay in our cars, or we're going to continue to try and use other ways, because people are back out and about now, and rightly so. We want to get back out and seeing people in person. It's great to be back here in studio this morning, but the fundamental piece, if we're going to look at climate really seriously, is a sustainable public transport network. And for Kildare, in any way, shape or form, that's not directed associated with a train link, it's not there.
Okay, on those range of issues then, that is Social Democrats councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Aidan Farrelly. And a reminder that public meeting takes place in the Westgrove Hotel in Clane on the 7th of November regarding that 120 bus. If you have any stories that you'd like to share and pass on information, Aidan will be in attendance there. Thanks for joining us, Aidan.
Thank you.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof. In the heart of Newbridge, whitewatersc.ie.
All right, catching up on some of the messages then. The lady from Ballycane, well, she's from Lackenview, did specifically encourage people to bring carpets to the bonfire. I think it's disgraceful to encourage any kind of bonfires, as it's a drain on the resources of the emergency services and the local authority, says Mary. Another one here saying, high-owned property tax is a thorn in my side. The main street in my town is a disgrace. Where are the funds going? Asks Pat. You'll have to tell us what town you're in, Pat, to find out more information on that. Joe says, I've no public transport either. I think you're in Kildangan, Joe. So that highlights there. And then May says, Aidan Farrelly is talking rubbish. Look at the money that they wasted on the main street in Newbridge. Keep the messages coming in to us. 0833 97 97 97. Mary Ryan is on the line from the Kilteel Ceoltas, Eadstown Kilteel Ceoltas, and also of the Féile Limo Flynn. Good morning to you, Mary, again.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. The Féile Limo Flynn takes place this weekend. Loads happening.
That's right. Starting off on Friday, and then we have a full weekend of events between sessions, recitals and concerts. And Akeley, of course, the Kilsonora, playing in the Osprey Hotel on Saturday night.
Absolutely. And we might as well open up the competition lines now then, just before we do anything else. If you want to be in with a chance of winning a pair of tickets to go and see the Kilfenora Akeley Band at the Osprey Hotel at 9 o'clock on Saturday night, it's going to be a fantastic Akeley. All you have to do is text in the word Akeley and your name and where you're from to 0833 97 97 97. And don't worry, it's not an Irish exam, so I don't mind what way you spell Akeley. You can just send it in to us and we'll pick three winners. We've three pairs of tickets to give away. Mary, you might just run down through the schedule of events then. So starting off on Friday night, what's happening?
Starting off on Friday night in St. David's Church, we have a concert with Brian, it's Kildare Pipers, Brian Hughes, Joe Byrne, Cormac McEagan. And then we have the Kildare Youth Orchestra, which is a great initiative by Kildare, by Kilteel Ceoltas. So we're looking forward to seeing them in St. David's Church, and then sessions in the town afterwards. And then sold out concert in the Moat on Saturday night with Matt Malloy, the Mulcahy family. There's workshops in the Moat, Pipers workshops and harp workshops on Saturday. On Sunday then we have Steve Cooney and Leisha Kelly and Louise Mulcahy doing talking about Limo Flynn, the Limo Flynn collection and all his tunes. And then we've sold our concert actually on the Sunday night in Kill, where Liam O'Mwaley will be there, and Leisha Kelly, Steve Cooney, Donal Lunny and Paddy Glacken, Mark Redmond and Sandy Purcell. And also there's an award being given for our inaugural Limo Flynn weekend for a Lifetime Achievement Award for one a Kildare musician. So we're having Minister Catherine Martin is going to be presenting the award.
It's going to be a super, super weekend, and it's really going to remember the fantastic legacy left behind by one of the best traditional Irish musicians that not only this county has produced, but this country, in Liam O'Flynn. Tickets, Mary, if people want to get their hands on tickets for any of those events, how can they do so?
To the Moat. The Moat are selling all our tickets for us. And as I said, Saturday and Sunday night concerts are sold out, but there's still availability for the Friday night and for the Sunday recital in the stores in 33 South Main. So to the Moat, get online onto the Moat, and they'll be able to help you out with tickets.
Very good, very good. So tickets sold out for Saturday night, but we have our hands on three pairs of tickets for the Kilfenora Cayley Band in the Osprey Hotel at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. I have them right here, and if anybody wants to be able to chance of winning those tickets, all you have to do is text the word Cayley, your name and where you're from, to 0833 97 97 97. You can also send it in on the WhatsApp, and we'll be announcing three winners before we go off air at 11 o'clock. Listen, Mary, thanks for joining us again on the programme. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Yeah. At the weekend, do you want to say something else?
Oh,
there,
yeah,
Mary,
just before you go, yeah, tickets for the Cayley can be got at the door at the door on Saturday night.
Super,
well,
stuff. Super, yeah, stuff. Thanks, okay, indeed, Mary, and best of luck to all organising that Féile Liam O'Flynn over the course of the weekend. Time for this.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Joining us on the line for Crime Time this morning is Garda Aidan McGuan. He is of Maynooth Garda Station. Good morning to you, Aidan.
Good morning, Owen. How are you doing?
I'm good. A number of issues to get through over the course of the last week or so. And the first offence was last Saturday at the square in Kildare, an assault causing harm, Aidan.
That's correct, Owen. And this incident refers to an assault of a male that happened in the early hours of Saturday morning, the 1st of October. Now, this incident happened in the square in Kildare town. While walking home after a night out, a man received injuries after being approached by an unknown male who punched him in the face. Now, thankfully, the man only sustained minor injuries, and we are currently looking at CCTV footage to establish just what happened in the incident. But we are appealing now to any witnesses who may have been in the area and have any information about that incident to just to contact Kildare Garda Station on 045 527 730.
The second offence then was a road traffic accident in Monastrevin last Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Guards in Monastrevin attended the scene of a material damage traffic collision. Now, this incident occurred on the N7 travelling in the Portlaoise direction. So what happened was, as a result of a quick change in weather conditions, there was a serious downpour of rain, and it caused slippery road conditions, and two cars collided into each other. Now, fortunately, there was no one hurt in this incident. But I just think, Owen, considering it's Road Safety Week, this is a good example to remind us that we are coming into the winter months. I think we only need to look outside the window here today to see that the weather conditions are changing. And with leaves falling off the trees, you know, there are hazardous conditions on the roads out there. So we'd just be asking drivers to be that little bit extra vigilant. You know, there's a few simple techniques they can do. They can just go out and make sure that they have good tyres on their cars. You know, I think when driving in adverse weather conditions as well, just leave that little bit of extra room between you and the car in front, and just to slow down, and, you know, that should significantly reduce the risk of being involved in an incident of this type.
Okay, the third offence was criminal damage and or graffiti at Maynooth train station last Friday as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So the guards in Maynooth are currently investigating a criminal damage incident. Now, this incident happened at Maynooth train station, where a train was painted with graffiti. Now, the incident happened between the 30th of September, on the 30th of September, between the hours of 1 a.m. and 8 p.m. Now, we are aware that this is a large time frame, and we're currently looking at CCTV footage just to try and narrow down that window of time. But we're just seeking the assistance from any member of the public who was in and around the train station at these times. If you did notice anything suspicious or anyone acting suspiciously around the trains, and you believe you might have some information in relation to this incident, please contact us at Leixlip Garda Station on 01 666 7800.
Okay, if we stay in the north of the county then, and in Primrose Gate in Selbridge, there was criminal damage there.
That's correct, Owen. This incident was where Gardaí in Selbridge are investigating a criminal damage incident that happened on the 27th of September in the early hours of the morning. I think it was around 2:30 a.m. at Primrose Gate in Selbridge. Now, in relation to this incident, we have viewed CCTV footage, and in it, we see a male smashing up the driver's side door and windscreen of a car with a hammer before leaving the scene. So we're just asking people out there, if you are in and around Primrose Gate on these dates and at these times, and you've seen anything suspicious or you think you've seen this incident itself, please get in contact with us at Selbridge Garda Station. And again, the number is 01-666-7800.
Two more incidents then to get to. First of all, a burglary in Leixlip, and this happened last Tuesday.
Yeah, that's correct, Owen. So, Gardaí are investigating a burglary that occurred in Leixlip in the early hours of Tuesday morning, which was the 27th of September. Now, unfortunately, the perpetrators gained access to the house by breaking into a car that was in the driveway, and the occupants of the house had left the house keys in the car, so they used those keys to gain access to the house. You know, I think as well, it's a stark reminder to people just to be mindful of where you leave the keys of your home. So during the course of the burglary, the car was subsequently stolen. So we're just asking people, if you have any information in relation to this incident, please contact Leixlip Gardaí at 01-666-7800. That being said as well, I think, you know, people need to be very careful of any property that they're leaving in vehicles and what they're doing with their house keys. So if they're looking for any information, they can go to www.garda.ie. There's plenty of crime prevention information in there and how to secure your home.
There was also then, finally, a seizure of fireworks in Fenton Green in Kilcock on Sunday.
Yeah, this is very topical again to the season. So an incident, this incident relates to an operation that the Gardaí in Leixlip conducted on the 2nd of October in Kilcock. So after extensive investigation and an intelligence gathering operation, Gardaí searched the house in Kilcock and seized a large amount of fireworks. Look, it was a very successful operation and we're very happy with it, and the investigation is ongoing. But again, We're coming into that season again, Owen. You know, Halloween is just around the corner. We know that people are excited. We know that they're looking forward to it. That being said, it does present some significant problems to us. We just like to remind the people of the danger of fireworks. So, like, every year we're seeing people coming with serious injuries. We see damage to property that's caused as a direct result of fireworks. So our priority is that people are safe at this time of year, and we don't want them to be remembering Halloween for any of the wrong reasons, so we'd be urging people just to stay away from fireworks at all times.
And I know that there was a great weekend had at the Garda Centenary at Castletown House in Selbridge, and I saw some of the photographs up online afterwards. You had a great time there.
Oh, look, Owen, look, I just thought it was worth to mention. We thought it was fantastic. So a team of guards headed up by Superintendent Georgina Gray, they created an amazing 100-year celebration of An Garda Síochán, and this was done in the lovely grounds of Castletown House. So we're very thankful to them as well. But we'd just like to say a massive thank you to everyone in the North Kildare community who came out to support this celebration. They really made it a special day for us. You know, we were overwhelmed by the turnout and the support. We were blessed with the weather, and it just turned into a lovely family-friendly event. The atmosphere was just so positive and electric, and everybody enjoyed themselves. So just from all of the guards here, we'd just like to appreciate and send our appreciations to the public for turning out and celebrating the centenary with us.
Great stuff. Well done on that. That is Garda Aidan McGuan with our look at those range of crimes. And if you have any information on those, do get in touch with your local Garda station. Thanks, Aidan.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas, PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
All right then, just to announce the three winners of our three pairs of tickets for the Kilfenora Ceilidh Band at the Osprey Hotel on Saturday night at 9 o'clock as part of the Féile Limo Flynn. John O'Connell in Naas, Audrey Wilson in Strafan, and Geraldine Mackey in Kilkee down in Castledermot. Well done to the three of you. We will be in touch with you after the programme to let you know how you can get your hands on those tickets. And if you want to go to any of the events in terms of Féile at Limo Flynn, go on to the Moats website. Our tickets for the Kilfenora Ceilidh Band are available on the door at the Osprey Hotel on Saturday night.